Hi, welcome. You're here at the Dollar Bin. We are in my house in sunny downtown Columbia, South Carolina, only it's not sunny because it's nighttime and I'm not downtown, but I am in Columbia and it is South Carolina.
And who are you?
I'm Trey.
Oh, hi, Trey. Welcome to the show.
I still hate the X-Men.
So he's at least temporarily back on the show so all of you could stop your bitching.
Oh, come on now. I was actually a little disappointed to find out that the sum total of everything that I brought to the show could be replaced by conversation about V's ass.
And how much of a racist Adam is.
Yeah, well.
Speaking of shows about you being a racist, how about those Cowboys, Adam?
Yeah, I saw that game 2 weeks ago when they played Pittsburgh, so it's no big deal.
Yeah, it's tough.
The thing I hate about that game is that all the credit will go to Romo being back, like he's a good quarterback. And if the Redskins would have scored any points whatsoever, They still would have beat the sorry-ass Cowboys.
Yeah, I'll give all my credit to Marion Barber. What's the exact same thing that
he carried that team last night.
It's the exact same thing. Like, Pittsburgh, seriously, it was the exact same game. The beginning of the Pittsburgh game, they stopped Pittsburgh. They went down. They immediately got a touchdown on the opening drive. They got a turnover from Pittsburgh and didn't do anything with it. And then from that point on, it was a stagnant offense, defense on both sides. And then in the fourth quarter, Pittsburgh ran all over Washington. It was the exact same game as what I watched last night. So it's
amazing
it's
you say that, because I watched a University of South Carolina game this weekend that I saw
game?
About five times in the 90s.
Was that a game?
It was a game. And like I said, I saw it about five times in the 90s. You know?
I think that was one team running wind sprints up and down the field.
It was bad. Hey, only a Clemson fan could give me a hard time about that game in the middle of the kind of season you guys are having.
At least nobody stomped the shit out of us like that.
Well,
we just decided to have a little clinic on how to throw a pick six.
Good Lord.
That's something that both of our quarterbacks have great proficiency
at. It kind of looked like Colin Harper out there.
When Clemson does play Carolina, all of the scoring in the entire game could just be interception returns for touchdowns.
Yeah, it could all be defensive scoring. I see that.
Could be worse. At least none of our teams tied.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that doesn't help at all, does it? Mm. That doesn't help anybody.
So what were you out here for 4 hours for?
How does that work in the
They do
the
one
pros,
overtime,
man.
And that's it?
One over? That's it?
Mm-hmm.
Are they still doing that? The first team to kick a field goal?
Yeah, yep.
God, yep. Pros need to work on
it's
that,
the first,
man.
The first team to score in overtime. If no team scores after one overtime, it's game's over. It's a tie. Until you get to the playoffs, of course.
Unless it's the playoffs, and then the overtime is just endless.
Yeah. But yeah, the end zone to end zone, 20-yard charge or whatever it is, is for that college does. What is that?
Well, yeah.
Shootout.
10-yard or how was it? How far out is it?
25, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
25. Awesome.
Yeah, and each team gets a real shot. It's like in the pros, everybody can hit like a 40, with a couple of exceptions. Just about everybody can hit a 40-yard field goal anyway. So it's like if you win the toss, there's a good chance you're going to win the game.
I don't know. It doesn't happen often. I like the shootout for college and high school, which high school is where it was born, and then college adapted it. I'd like to see them just stay with the regular overtime in the pros, but don't have it end.
Man, I love the shootout.
You
though.
Know, if it's,
so
it's
much
over,
more
if it's overtime, then overtime means we still have to decide the winner.
Yeah, but winning by a field goal sucks. There's nothing exciting about that at all. It's basically whoever wins the coin toss wins the game, unless you choose to kick.
What's the difference between winning on a field goal in regulation and it not sucking and winning on a field goal in overtime?
Oh, it
and
does.
It not sucking?
I mean, well, the difference is because when you win on it in regulation, I mean, you're winning coming down to, like, if overtime was 2 minutes long, then it might be a little bit more exciting.
Then every overtime game in NFL history would be a tie.
Well, the thing about a game. A whole quarter, like the last quarter of gameplay, coming down to, like, you know, just team after team stopping the other and trying to get down there. And that rarely ever happens in overtime play. Even sometimes the team that wins the coin toss will take the reception and they'll get stopped. But then usually the other team just charges down the field, kicks field goal, and it's over. You know, there's rarely ever more than two possessions in overtime. It's one of those two possessions wins the game. But just the idea of having to just kind of do the shootout, man. It's so exciting. I watched Maryland. I can't remember who they're playing, but they went like 15 overtime periods of the shootout. It was
who was it last year? LSU and Kentucky had a freaking phenomenal game. Went into what, four overtimes?
Yeah, that shit was crazy.
Now, now it'd be cool if maybe in overtime, if like if you know, the, whoever wins the coin toss. God, I keep saying
it again.
I did. Whoever wins the coin toss.
Coin toss.
Whoever wins the coin toss goes down and scores, but then the other team gets one more possession.
Mm-hmm.
That would be exciting. Because then you would go down there and say they kick a field goal and they take it easy, they do it easy, and
that's
then the other team
like
gets
the,
a possession.
That's kind of like the backyard you got to win by two in basketball, though.
Hey.
that makes it go on forever.
But I mean, if a team goes down there and kicks a field goal and the other team goes down there and gets in the end zone, then they win. You know, I think it puts a little bit more risk on the team. I don't know. It's more fun. It's just more fun. That's all
I just
it is
like
to
the
it.
Idea. I mean, I like seeing both halves of the team on the field.
Yeah.
In overtime, you know, you get to see the offense and the defense for either team play rather than, you know, some team's offense, you know, what is it in the pros? Where do they start from, the 40?
How does that work? Kickoff.
Just
kickoff.
Regular kickoff? Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, they break it down, the first score wins. I don't know. Sudden death, I'm not a big fan of.
Yeah, I'm not either.
I'm not a big fan of.
I mean, like even like both, hockey, and you get shootouts there with the goals and everything. It's not whoever can make the first goal all the time. You know, you can
they
do,
can do field goal kicker shootout.
take it back 10 yards.
The NFL never agreed to it, but that would be awesome.
Actually put the
20-yard, 30-yard, 40-yard, 50. For a game-winning 65-yard field goal.
The first kicker to miss, that team loses. God, that puts so much pressure on kickers.
Yeah, man. I mean, that would
break
give...
Breaking down on the field and just crying.
That would give value. You to that position is it's never had. Like kickers have never been so important.
Field goal kicker hanging himself
out,
after
Dan.
The game.
I mean, yeah, it comes down to, of course, you know, field goal kickers are important because they do win at the end of games and they do win in overtime. But yeah, actually put that extra little bit of excitement in there would be great.
I can kick that goal in 45 yards. I can kick that goal in 46 yards. Kick that goal.
I think the NBA, instead of overtime, ought to go to free throw shooting contest. But it has to be like the worst. Your worst field free throw shooters, like Shaq, would have to shoot free throws to win or lose a game.
Oh my god, Shaq versus Yao Ming in a 3-point contest.
Dang. Dang.
They could build a house.
We could be here all night, folks.
Hit the rim.
So, man, we haven't talked comics in forever, dude. What are you guys reading?
Well, some of us haven't.
I said we. I'm a part of we.
It's true. You are a part of we.
And we is a part of me. Hi, we.
We are us.
Hey. And we are all together, goo goo gajoob.
So, Trey, what have you been reading since the last time you were on the show?
Not much. I was hoping you guys could tell me about some things. Nah, I cleaned out my folder. I let my folder get really, really backed up. And,
I have medicine for that, you know.
I was about to say, I went and took a $200 X-Lax pill down to the comic book shop and released the floodgates that way. And so I don't even know, you know, the stuff that I got here to talk about, I don't even know how current it is.
None of it, really.
None of it? Yeah, okay. Well, I guess everyone's going to have to endure.
Oh, they'll ask why the entire show wasn't what you've been doing lately.
Oh, well, I could talk about that, but I won't. But I won't. The first thing that I will mention is actually not a comic, but instead I want to talk about a book that I picked up called The Physics of Superheroes by James Kakalios, I believe is how you pronounce it. And it is freaking awesome. It's paperback. You can pick it up for like, you know, $15 down at any place that sells books, Barnesy, Nobly sort of place. It's exactly what it sounds like. The Physics of Superheroes. It is a guy who is a physicist and also a comic book collector who picks out certain characters from the Marvel and DC universes and explains how their powers could work in a real setting, and if they don't work the way that they should properly according to the laws of physics, he'll explain how they should work, and it's really fun stuff. He breaks it down by gold and silver and modern ages, and the guy is a comic collector as much as he is a physicist, so it's not dry reading at all. This guy actually really does have a love of comics, and it's really good stuff. Highly recommended. Once again, The Physics of Superheroes by James Kakalios. Pick it up. Good stuff.
Excellent.
Yay.
Would you like to continue, or would you like to go round robin?
Well, you know what? Let me just go ahead and get these quick hits off, because I'm not going to talk about stuff that you guys may have already talked about at length. I'm not going to revisit that territory. But Captain America remains cool. The last issue that came out, number 43, Batroc the Leaper came back, and I got a soft spot for that guy. You know, he was one of the sillier Marvel characters, and he was actually kind of cool in this issue.
Actually, as silly as he used to be, I've read a lot of people complaining that they didn't keep him.
Keep him silly?
Silly. Like, why'd you change his costume? Because it was gay?
Because it was pink.
Because it was gay and retarded? Yeah. Exactly. It's French. That's what we want. Want
to talk about the new Avengers, number 46 that came out. And the only thing I want to say about this issue is...
Which one is that?
This is the one where Dormammu pops back up. Old Doctor Strange villain that I haven't seen in years and years and years.
The hood issue.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so Dormammu back in the Marvel universe, that just makes me happy, dude. Made me feel young again for just a second. I'm going to give a double quick hit on Secret Invasion and Final Crisis, and they're, you know, goodness gracious, I hate to say it, they're both really losing me right now. Secret Invasion started off and showed so much promise and looked like it was doing really well, and it just seems to be kind of meandering.
An oil slick.
Yeah, Devin mentioned earlier that he doesn't
it's
think...
It's dark, but I don't know that that's oil.
Yeah. Devin mentioned earlier that he doesn't think that it's going to end.
Oh,
and I tend to agree with him. It's going to be left wide open, and it's just kind of all over the place. And, oh well, I'll pick up the last issue just because there's only one more left.
But whatever comes out.
The steam that it started off with has faltered. And Final Crisis, you know, sometimes you got to say you're wrong when you're wrong. And I had hoped that Final Crisis was going to kind of converge as the series went on and all these crazy things that didn't have any relationship to, you know, all these crazy little vignettes that you were getting in the first few issues that didn't bear any resemblance to each other and didn't have anything to do with each other. Had this idea that by this time in the series, that stuff would have started to converge into a coherent storyline. And maybe I'm just less patient than I used to be. Maybe I'm not as smart as I used to be, but this is looking less like a storyline that is coming together and more like a trick to get me to buy some other one-shotty kind of books. And, you know, something that I was right about is Grant Morrison needed some editorial control. He needed somebody to kind of rein him in on this. If you are intimately familiar with Grant Morrison's previous work in Seven Soldiers of Victory, in JLA, and anything else he's ever done, perhaps it'll seem a little bit cooler to you. I am familiar with that stuff, and I don't want to see the Grant Morrison universe. I want to see the DC universe, and I think that there is a difference. So it's kind of losing steam as well, but you know what? I'm going to buy it, and hopefully I'll be proven wrong. That's all I got.
Taking up some stuff from DC, we talked last week and have been talking on the forum about them canceling
Grayson's
the Nightwing book. They're canceling Nightwing, Robin, and Birds of Prey. They also are canceling Blue Beetle and Manhunter.
No.
And supposedly due to economic reasons.
Hey man,
there's more stuff on the chopping block.
As long as they don't cancel Jonah Hex like they were talking about.
Which is there's gonna be a movie now. So
sweet.
Which is the only reason Spirit's still hanging along.
Yeah, I believe that.
Which is funny because I've also read comments from several of Marvel's people because they just got finished with their big creative summit thing that they do like 8 times a year to plan whatever bullshit crossover you're going to have to buy.
Right.
And they said that they were contemplating that too, but they didn't cut anything except Amazing Spider-Girl. Yet they can still release $4 three-page issues from X-Men shit with Warren Ellis. So apparently they're not that concerned about the economy.
What about you, D? What have you been reading? Not Walking Dead.
Not Walking Dead yet. I'm pretty upset.
Oh, you haven't read
that.
Walking Dead yet?
No.
I told him it's not too, it doesn't, you know, it's not too revealing.
No, but there's a big tease at the end.
Yeah,
there's a big tease at the end for the upcoming issue.
At least it's not like an oh shit moment like all the previous current issues of.
Hopefully they will have my copy for me Wednesday when I get there. Since they did not have it for me this Wednesday.
I was not able to pick up Action this
they
week.
Also did not have my Batman.
There's
cacophony.
A little massage parlor right down the street for Richard. You should be able to get some there.
So what did you read, Devin?
I forget what the hell came out. Wolverine, Old Man Logan.
Hey, what'd you think? Man, they picked up, huh?
Yeah.
I'm digging it now.
I
was kind of digging it before, but I think I'm really digging it now.
I've liked it the whole way through, but I just... Yeah. I wish I would have just saved it and read it all at one time. I'm sure I probably would have liked it a little bit better. Yeah.
The art's awesome.
I'll tell you what I did read this week.
Yeah.
Besides Young Liars, which continues to be extremely...
I haven't read that yet. I meant to read it last night.
Freaking weird, man. God.
I'm going to try to hopefully read it tonight.
That book is just something else, man.
Not the direction you were expecting when we started reading.
No, 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 not even kind of Spiders from Mars. That I'm thinking Bowie, and that's as far as I took it. They went very much further. Apparently, there really are spiders from Mars. Anyway, I read Green Arrow,
all of
1 through 20, or 1 through 22, or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah,
like Kevin Smith's run and Brad Meltzer's run, both of which were really good.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to read the Kevin Smith stuff before, and it kind of got me. Like, I mean, you know how he is. He writes like his movies are, just blah, 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 blah. And it was a little much at first, especially.
A lot of still frame shots.
Man, it was just like, I mean, I don't really know that much about Green Arrow anyway, coming into that, and it was the art's really cartoony, and I don't know. I just kind of wasn't digging it at first, and then I started reading through it, and it's really good. The only thing is, it pissed me off because now I'm like, oh, I want to read more Green Arrow. Who picked it up next? Oh, John Winnick. Never mind. So
bingo.
I'm asking everybody, like, well, is there any more cool Green Arrow stuff I can read? So if anybody knows some cool Green Arrow stuff that does not involve Judd Winnick, please post to the site, and one of these guys will tell me to look at it, since I never look at that shit anyway.
the fuck is that? Don't bother with that, because no, we will not be telling Devin. In fact, you got asked.
They'll tell me.
You got asked a question, Adam, on the site today.
Did he?
Adam and I will not be relaying to you, because you need to go look at this shit yourself.
Devin goes, it's funny, you do go to the site, though. You just never comment yourself.
Yeah, I never really comment.
But you've definitely been, because you've mentioned things to me that you've read.
Yeah, I usually will look at the postings at least like once for each one. I'll wait till it gets like 10 posts up, and then read through the little strain of what everybody was saying. Sometimes it's funny, and sometimes it's not.
Very well. Brian, you want to go last, or you want to go next?
It's up to you, Slick.
I'll go next.
Yeah. Oh, Gigantic. We got to talk about that, too.
Okay. Did you dig that?
Yes.
The Rick Remender?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Is it Dark Horse?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you like about it?
Everything. I liked everything. I don't know, man.
Thank you for that in-depth analysis, sir.
No, over to you, Sam.
This is all you need.
The staples holding it together were awesome.
It's basically like Godzilla kind of book. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
it's
almost like it's like a Godzilla type of book, but it looks the gigantic thing looks kind of like the Guyver.
Did you read?
Sort of.
Did you read the letter in the back?
A giant look to it.
Did you read like the Rick Remender letter in the back of it? Where
yeah,
it explains it.
Yes.
And basically, the whole book is about the advanced society or civilizations in the universe. All they do is lay around and watch TV because that's all they need to do now. So basically, Earth is a channel on this intergalactic TV.
We're the Truman Show.
We're a reality show.
Yeah, we're a reality show. And apparently, we've been getting really boring lately. And but then there's this other show that's like, I guess, like some sort of arena fighting or something.
Yeah.
And this guy escapes, this giant guy. We don't know anything about him, really, except he escapes from the arena by jumping channels, sort of.
Okay.
But he lands like right in the middle of a city on Earth and just starts smashing people.
He's like, oh, shit, oh, shit,
he's like,
oh, shit,
oh,
shit.
Oh, God, what am I doing? And he finds out it was a setup. They actually tricked him into doing that because they knew he would jump channels to try to get away. And end up smashing people, and it's going to be pretty pretty deep on like twists and turns and stuff, but
gotcha.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, the thinking man's Godzilla.
I thought that was Cloverleaf.
I've never watched Cloverleaf,
but better than good Cloverleaf.
Call. Yeah, real quick, I'd like to mention Green Lantern Corps.
Oh yeah. I read that too.
The thing that killed me about Green Lantern Corps, you know, is we read this whole Rage of the Red Lanterns.
Yeah,
but it looks like this takes place before. It's like Rage of the Red Lantern. Damn it! Rage of the Red Lanterns. It feels like it shouldn't have come out for like two or three more issues. It seems like they released it early because now we're still in Green Lantern Corps. We're still in setup mode.
It was the only thing that anybody for DC turned in on time
because we're still in setup mode. You know, because Yeah, you think that...
What are you talking about, Willis?
Do you think that if what happened in Rage of the Red Lanterns would have occurred in the storyline, that that next issue that we just read in Green Lantern Corps would have been the way it was? No. People have been freaking the fuck out because
there's
Red Lanterns.
It could be happening simultaneously.
No, because some of the characters are in both.
Ah, okay.
So, no.
Who are... Kyle and him didn't show up at, did
the
they?
Guardians in both of them with the scarred face.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Syed, is that her name?
I don't know, man. Yeah. It's been a minute since I read the last Lantern.
So anyway, that's the only thing killed me about it, is that it's definitely like they did this whole, they released this Rage of Red Lanterns. People have been freaking the fuck out in the next issue. That's what I was looking forward to. I was like, oh, man, how are they going to react to this Rage of the Red Lanterns
thing?
Oh,
yeah, we don't
get
that.
And then they didn't do any of it.
Yeah, my bad, man. I could have told you that. We don't get that till Lantern, and not this month either.
And it just killed me. It's like, why release that? It's kind of a teaser, but not really, because it actually gives the story away.
You did hear that next issue is going to be late too, right?
Nah, well, yeah. What can you do? I just want to touch. I picked up the I Hate Gallant Girl. Have you guys seen any of that? Is I guess it's an Image book. It was originally I Hate Galaxy Girl. It was in Image had the contest, create a superhero contest or something.
Okay.
And the I Hate Galaxy Girl was one of the character storylines created, and it didn't win. But somebody at Image liked it so much that they went ahead and said, I'm going to do it anyway. Yeah. So they went ahead and did it anyway. And it was I Hate Galaxy Girl. It's basically about every 10 years, the superhero team has like a beauty pageant, basically, or a pageant to pick the next Galaxy Girl who's going to be a member of their team. And the girl, this one girl who's been, since she was a little kid, she had all these powers. And she was like, I'm going to be the next Galaxy Girl. But then she doesn't get picked because she's not pretty enough. Even though she's by far the most qualified superhero, on the planet at all,
right?
And so she doesn't get picked, and it was originally called I Hate Galaxy Girl, but what happened? And I looked this up, is apparently a bunch of creators got together and created this, and then it didn't get picked with Image and everything, and then some of the creators went and sold the idea to Hollywood, a studio in Hollywood, for I Hate Galaxy Girl. So then when it did get picked up as a comic, they couldn't use I Hate Galaxy Girl because it had already been sold to a studio. So they changed it to Gallant Girl.
Gotcha.
So that's where that came from. But basically, and so she doesn't get picked. She's going to go back, and then there's like this whole monster thing, and she fights the monster and beats him. And then one of the members of the team, Blue Thunder, I think his name is, the team invites the Galaxy Girl or Gallant Girl to be like the stunt double stand-in for Galaxy Girl, since she doesn't have a lot of powers. They're like, oh, you won't be official member of the team, but you can fight instead of her, and she'll do all the press conferences. And they kind of go against it, and the Blue Thunders guy is like, I have a better idea, but it's going to take some training. And so they're actually going to go up like as a new team, it looks like, to kind of take the spotlight from the other team. It seems like it might be pretty cool. It's going to be a fun storyline.
It sounds like a lot of fun.
I was hoping, though, that it was going to go into her deciding that she was going to be the villain.
Yeah, I was wondering about
too. It may still go that way eventually.
The whole
idea. That was kind of what I expected it to be, is that she was just going to be like, if they're not going to pick me, screw that bitch. I'll show them.
Yeah, it looked like that might have been something they could have taken. Simon Dark, yet to have Batman show up in it. Still don't know why it takes place in Gotham City, but it does.
The only reason they're still printing is whose name is on it.
Yeah, it's good, though. The art's good, and it's not the storyline ended, kind of, and they're just kind of, it feels like they're doing these post-storylines, which are okay, but it's still good. It's still good. And then The Stand, the Captain Trips, this storyline that they're doing right now for The Stand, Stephen King's The Stand, Captain Trips.
Got it.
Good.
Yeah, this last issue was really, really good. So, like, lately I've been saying it's, like, it's dragging out. I don't know how they're going to do it. It's, like, really compressed. This last issue was really, really good. I was really happy with it.
Excellent. What's going on? Has society started to fall yet? Or
no, I think the next issue is going to be the mass deaths, dead bodies in the streets kind of thing. That's going to be the next issue. They're still getting to that point, but they actually went through a lot of what's going on in the heads of our main characters, and they introduced our first villains in this issue. But it's gonna be pretty cool. I think there's two more issues left in Captain Trips.
Okay.
And it's gonna end well, I think. Or not. Sweet. It's not gonna end well at all.
Well, it will end in an entertaining manner.
Yes, in an entertaining manner, it'll end. But so I'm happy with this last issue. I'm excited again, Ryan. That's all I got.
Picked up the Alex Ross written and drawn Kingdom Come special, which I don't know. I'm kind of tired of the whole Kingdom Come storyline. I don't think they ever should have introduced it because it all just ties into the Final Crisis 900 universes all warring and crap. But it's a beautiful looking issue. And he actually did a pretty decent job writing it. Basically, it tells the story of Superman's interaction with the preacher from Kingdom Come and this Earth Lois as he's still trying to deal with what's going on with should he be there or not, how he's supposed to act, considering he's not our Superman. If you liked Kingdom Come, even if you aren't going to buy the tie-ins or whatever, I recommend it. I think it's a good read. Also got the Cleaners from Dark Horse, which basically reminds me of their... It looks like they're just trying... It looked to me like when I read it that they were ripping off the first couple of episodes of Dexter, which is a Showtime TV series. They may not go that way, but that's how it looked to me. I mean, I thought it was an enjoyable read, but I don't think it's as original as maybe they could have made it.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. And I haven't watched Dexter, so I don't really know a lot about it. I just know he's a serial killer.
Batman Confidential. I started picking this up when they did a Batgirl, old school Batgirl Catwoman with Fabian, what's his name? And McGuire, yeah. And it was really funny. The next issue was going to be Scott McDaniel drawing a little Joker tie-in, which is not about Batman Joker's first meeting. It's about the first time the police department had to book him, basically dealing with something they've never dealt with before. So I figured I'd pick up that run on it, too, because that sounds like an interesting story. It's not something you've seen them do before. Spoilers. The first issue of this storyline, he gets information off one of the cops that does his paperwork's desk, calls his wife, and basically tells his wife horror story about her husband as if he was somebody from the police department. He uses his one phone call to do this and talks her into basically hanging herself.
Nice.
Jeez.
That's wildly over the top, but that's something you can imagine him doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, it's at the point now where you're worried about what that cop's going to do, and Joker's going to his first trial, and it's gone completely over the ridiculous deep end with the end of this story. The Joker sees that during the first round with this judge, sees that he has a medical ID bracelet on. Apparently, he has good enough vision from his seat at the table to the judge's perch. If you've ever been in a courtroom, which everyone in this room has, that's pretty good distance. You have to have great eyesight to see a little medical ID alert bracelet and read something off of it. Anyway, he reads that he has a peanut allergy off of this ID bracelet, and in the last page of the book, kills the judge in the courtroom by flicking peanuts into his water glass, which no one sees, and just the peanut juice in his water glass is enough to trigger an allergy that will kill him. I realize this is a comic book, but Christ, could we not have something in the realm of possibility? I just thought that was ridiculous. And it went from being really interesting to what the fuck? Why am I reading this? Pretty quickly.
Is that it? That's all you read anything you liked?
I said some decent stuff
No, you did.
I mean, the usual stuff that's good, I don't necessarily feel like mentioning anymore. Well, something news-wise that I thought was interesting that I read today was that Topps has a subsidiary called WizKids, and they create games for kids that don't deal with sports. One of their biggest sellers or chief game is HeroClix. Topps has ceased production on everything for WizKids and is closing that department completely down.
Closing that HeroClix.
Yeah. Or closing that corporation. Now, that could be something that they'd try to sell off.
Yeah.
But as of right now, they're going to finish whatever is advertised production-wise, and then that's it. They're completely closing that brand and said they're only doing sports cards and sports games from now on.
Slow economy telling us again.
So you could have the end of HeroClix. Or somebody else could decide to pick. I really don't know how it's been selling. I know it started off like gangbusters, but I don't know if it's still selling like that or not. So you could have the possibility of that game going completely by the wayside.
Well, that's not something I'm necessarily unthankful for. But today we're going to concentrate on things that we are thankful for.
What a segue.
What a segue. Because
Adam hates gamers.
So, yeah. So, in other words, this is our yearly annual Thanksgiving show. And of course, it's
early instead of before this year.
I was going to just start throwing out a few things to see if anybody here in our little circle of friends was actually thankful for anything this year. The big question that I wanted to throw out there, we get a lot of complaints about the four, and really mainly the two major publishers out there. Mm-hmm. I was curious as to if we can go around and talk about at least one thing that we're thankful for from each of the four God, I cannot talk worth a shit today. Four major publishers.
Good thing we're not doing an audio podcast.
Woo! Trey, would you like to say first what you're most thankful for? Let's do alphabetical. Dark Horse, go.
Dark Horse, Conan Comics. They just don't make bad Conan comics. I like these Conan comics that Dark Horse makes even more than I like the Roy Thomas, John Buscema Conan comics that Marvel was doing back in the day. Kurt Busiek has done some excellent stuff for them. Carrie Nord has written or drawn some excellent art. I've yet to read a bad Conan comic.
Yeah, Tim Truman's still doing good.
Tim Truman's been around
for the Sumerian.
Ever do, yeah. Dark Horse. Woohoo! Conan Comics. That's what I'm thankful for.
Devin, Dark Horse.
Dark Horse. We're going to say, oh, God. I'm split between Fear Agent and Buffy. Actually, I got to choose Fear Agent over Buffy. I can't do that. But I have been extremely pleased with Buffy, and it came out of, it was like a surprise thing. Whereas I was already sold on Fear Agent.
I mean, the topic is basically, what are you thankful for? Not what are you most thankful for? So you can be thankful for both. That's okay.
Okay. Yeah. I am definitely thankful for both.
Brian, anything on Dark Horse?
I think they published the Serenity miniseries, didn't they?
Did they?
If they did,
it was either them or IDW.
I believe you're right.
If they did, I'm glad that they are continuing to mine the Joss Whedon gold mine of stories, and I hope they put something else out.
The two things that I can think of are actually two things that I didn't really involve myself in, but they're just two things that I thought were really cool that they tried doing. The one is they're responsible for the MySpace webcomics.
Yeah, which was very
Dark Horse did.
Which was a great idea.
And that's actually been it's been published now. It's in printed form, which is awesome. And maybe someday I'll pick it up. The other thing that I think that they did that I'm really thankful for, oddly enough, as much as I complain about these things, they did a crossover with the Star Wars universe recently. And what it did is it actually, there's like five different Star Wars series out right now, and they all take place in different timelines. And this crossover event started with the earliest timeline. It was Vector, I think it was called Vector or something like mm-hmm. that. And I do have them all, and I saved them all up because I want to read that entire thing in one go because I'm not reading all those.
One big sci-fi nerdgasm at once.
Yeah, basically. But it starts in the earliest of the series, Siri. And I think it's like three issues, and then it moves to the next one, three issues, and then the next one, three issues. And so it's actually this whole thing that just ties together throughout time, which is just a really cool concept because it doesn't have to, you're not stuck with that. When does this happen? You know exactly what happens. It happens here, and then like something carries over, and then like, they find an artifact. It's all based on this artifact that gets rediscovered every few generations. Nice. So that's an awesome idea. I'm really thankful for that with Dark Horse.
Yay.
DC, Devin.
Ooh.
We'll just stagger.
You're switching it up.
It's
like
volleyball.
Huh?
We're rotating.
Yeah. Anything with DC, Devin?
I think I might have been thankful for this last year, too. But Green Lantern.
Yeah.
That's definitely like the thing I'm most thankful for from DC. Yeah. I'm having trouble thinking of anything else I have really been enjoy reading from DC here lately. But Green Lantern, man. I mean, Lantern and Lantern Corps, I'm still reading both of them since, Sinestro. And that's crazy. I never thought I'd be buying a Lantern book.
Man, I'm pretty much going to go with... I mean, I buy more DC books than that.
Yeah.
But as far as actually enjoying them... I mean, I'm thankful that they're trying some different things. Like, they're still doing Jonah Hex.
Yeah.
They're still doing The Spirit. Even though I really think the only reason both of those are still seeing print is because they have movie deals attached to them.
Yeah.
But Green Lantern Corps has been the best DC book consistently for me since Sinestro Corps started, since that big crossover. Yourself?
Yeah, with me, I kind of, it's slightly cheating. I'm very thankful for a lot of the...
Vertigo books?
The Vertigo
are you gonna go
books.
Vertigo?
That's DC.
Ah, you cheating bastard. No,
that was one
that
thing.
Opens up, that's a whole other issue.
We can talk about that, but...
that's still DC stuff.
I am really thankful, because I mean, the books that are coming out there, I'm reading more Vertigo books and Wildstorm books than regular DC. My if you look at DC in my pull list, it's Green Lantern Corps and Jonah Hex, which
I'm very thankful for Jonah Hex. And Final Crisis.
And I have started reading some Superman stuff, but really that's it. So if it weren't for Vertigo, I wouldn't be reading as much DC, so that's why I'm thankful for Vertigo. Also, I don't know if I can count it, but I'm going to go ahead and say the Batman movie this year. Very thankful for that.
Well, we could do like a comic book multimedia question.
Trey, how about you?
With DC, I'm gonna. This really isn't a cheesy answer. This is going to sound like a cheesy cop-out answer. With like DC, mine. What I'm most thankful for with DC is the depth and breadth of not only the DC universe, but also the depth and breadth of their publishing arrangement. If you want war comics, DC's making them. If you want barbarian comics, DC's making them. If you want sci-fi, superheroes, westerns, intellectual horror, DC is publishing all of this stuff. And with the sheer volume of stuff that they've got on the racks, they're always putting out something good. DC has stumbled on occasion, as all publishers do, but there's always something that DC is putting out that's worth reading. And you got to love them for it. You know, you can walk away from comics for 10 years at a stretch, go back to comics, and guarantee you DC will be publishing something worth reading at any given moment.
I'll take your word for it. Brian, Image, you're new to the Image world.
Robert Kirkman? I mean, really, I mean, yeah. the bulk of my interest in Image is not any of the other guys. It's Kirkman. I mean, I like that they're still, you know, you have Fell, which may never come out again.
Yeah, who knows?
But to use this as an example, to use Hickman stuff as an example, you know, Image is still doing small things with publishers going and with creators going and getting their work done.
Yeah, Back to Brooklyn's Image, right?
At another place.
I think Back to Brooklyn's Image.
I think it is.
Yeah. That's a boy.
But you know, I pick up some of that. I look at some of that stuff and some of it I don't.
Mm-hmm.
And I skip over anything related to Spawn, Witchblade, Savage Dragon, or any of that other Image mess. I just don't care.
Yeah.
But Kirkman puts out 2 books a month. That give me as much enjoyment as anything with the name Brubaker not on it.
Yeah.
So Image is Kirkman. Kirkman is Image as far as I'm concerned at the moment.
Image for me has been amazing this year. I've been able to read so many 5-issue miniseries that it's just kept me thoroughly entertained with new, fresh stories from creators and artists that I'd never heard of and seen. And, we did our show a couple years back about Image and just how awful it was in the years and how they're trying to get some things done. They're getting things done. I mean, I've been reading just gold stories out of Image publishers, and just the fact that I've been enjoying self-contained stories, especially this year and the year of crossovers and major events.
Yeah.
I'm very thankful that I have Image to fall back on and just read nice little stories.
Right on.
Trey?
I'm going to, one, echo what Brian is saying. The addition of Robert Kirkman was just a genius move for them, and Kirkman does great, great work. I'm going to throw another name out there that's out of the Image ranks that I'm very, very thankful for, and it's a guy named Eric Schanauer, who was doing the Age of Bronze comic. And I actually haven't seen an Age of Bronze comic out in a while. I don't know if that's a shortcoming of my local shop, or if he is, you know, on publishing hiatus or what, but Age of Bronze was a tremendously, tremendously good comic. I know that there are 2 trade paperbacks out that everybody should read. It's about as good as it gets. When
and that's
you're...
about a tanning salon?
Was it what? Age of Bronze? Yeah. Ba-dum-bum. Good stuff. Story of the Trojan War. Good stuff.
Devin, can you think of anything?
Besides Kirkman.
You can think Kirkman if you want. I mean, he's obviously something.
Oh, yeah,
to be
I'm
thankful
definitely
for.
Thankful for Kirkman. I mean, Invincible, although I'm a little bit behind here. I'm probably like 8 or 10 issues behind, something like that.
Well, what happened last time was.
Yeah, anyway, it's. I mean, Kirkman continues to be awesome. And then there's all these little things that tend to pop up, like one of the Frank Frazetta creatures that was on Image,
not
right?
Image.
What? Sure.
Frazetta com. Well, I guess Frazetta is a. Image.
It's through Image.
Yeah, they make good
Image.
Pizza too.
Never yeah. mind. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
My bad.
Which
my
we bad. Got to read about Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Barking yeah. out monsters. What else? Was Repo? Repo was on Image.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it just...
There's all these little series that keep popping up. 76? Yeah. 76 is on Image. That book is awesome. Oh, I don't know. I mean, I've only got four. I'm hoping that that's all has come out.
Yeah, exactly. And that's my point. Like, and it's like, you have those things. Like, you have Frazetta comics. You have the Shadowline comics. And they're all through Image. But there's these publishers, even like Gigantic Graphic Novels, which is Rick Spears' thing, he does a lot of things through Image. And it's just great to be able to pull those together. There's books I might not ever be able to see if not for Image. Because there are publishers that make them. They just wouldn't have any way to get them to.
That book, Meltdown, remember that?
Yeah.
That was a good book. Yeah. It came out of nowhere. Like, who would even think to pick that up? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, unless you just kind of happen upon it, but whatever. Just like we did.
So, am I up with Marvel?
Yes.
Icon.
even though there's only two books and one artist and one writer attached to it, still Marvel's best line.
I am super thankful for Icon. I'm also pretty thankful for the Wolverine First Class storyline because I get to read something with Kitty Pryde in it. that's the main thing. I've been enjoying a lot of the more fun books with Marvel, things like Wolverine First Class. You know, I'm thankful for some of the in-depth storylines, but I can probably do without them sometimes. But the thing I'm most thankful for off the top of my head is Wolverine First Class.
Wow. Man, well, I'll tell you, Marvel, I'm thankful that Marvel's, you know, kind of flagship heroes mean something again. Captain America is a book that I look forward to every month. Thor is a book that I've started looking forward to every month. Both very good things. Iron Man matters in a way that character hasn't mattered to the general public ever.
And in a comic book sense, I mean, he dominated the year in Marvel Comics, not just from the movie. Mm-hmm. He was the central figure in the entire universe.
That's exactly right. And, you know, I'm digging it. It's Marvel for the longest time kind of got interested in putting out like a bunch of X books and not paying attention to their core group of characters that they had been built on. And now they seem to be back and they're doing good things with all those guys.
Except for the Hulk.
So yeah, the Hulk I haven't been real happy with either lately, but the Hulk is the Hulk. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
And he did have a movie that came out and did well this year as well.
Yes, he did.
Marvel, thanks for making your characters that aren't mutants mean something again. And thanks for just putting out smart comics. I mean, that Captain America comic, that's a smart comic.
Yeah, man.
The Thor comic, J. Michael Straczynski has been working on that. It's freaking awesome. That's a smart comic.
And the Thor onesies. The Fraction's been right. I'm definitely
thankful that Marvel has started signing on some of these younger writers.
Yep. Yeah, it's no shit.
It's definitely brought a freshness to the publisher.
So how about Iron Fist? Iron Fist has been a great comic.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Digging it. Good job,
still
Marvel.
Good. It's still good, even with Dwayne Swarinski or whatever. Who I again was not looking forward to because his Cable run, but he's nailing it with Iron Fist. I think I'll give him credit for that.
I would have to agree.
Pick not that nailing up. Iron Fist.
He's nailing it with an Iron Fist.
He's nailing it with an Iron Fist.
I actually didn't get that until I saw Brian laughing. I'm like, what's he chuckling about? Like,
As I was saying it, I was like, there's something wrong with what I'm saying. And when Brian started laughing, I was like, wait, there is something wrong with what I'm saying.
Is that kind of like a donkey punch, or I don't know that I know what the Iron Fist is in my sexual head book.
Donkey punch.
Hunter, it doesn't sound good though. It doesn't sound like it feels good.
Sounds like something in one of Devin's lesbian porn fantasies.
Yeesh.
In issue 35, Iron Fist versus the Shocker.
Wow. With Black Cat caught the middle.
I'm gonna have to go.
Sorry, that
Iron
was the
Fist
dream I had
now.
Last night.
Huh? Are you contributing, Devin? What was that?
No, I didn't really.
Oh. What are you thankful for, Devin, with Marvel?
God, man, I read every week. I kind of look at whatever I'm reading, and a lot of it is Marvel. More so than I realize sometimes. More so, you know, the stuff that I really like. Like, I mean, Invincible Iron Man. Yeah. And Captain America, I mean, pretty much everything Trey already named off, with the exception of Amazing Spider-Man, which I enjoy. But I mean,
you're real happy with that jackpot ending, huh?
That
did it hit the jackpot?
Oh, God. That was, yeah. Did you read that?
No, Sean read it when I was over there one night.
Yeah, I wish I hadn't have bought it. I wish I'd have read it in the store or something. But I mean, that was just, that was like a, you know, little one-shot annual deal. That didn't really have anything to do with what was, well, I guess it did, but I don't know. Whatever, man. Let me just say that for the most part, I've been enjoying that. As long as Bob Gale is not writing it, I'm okay. Because anytime he gets behind the mic, it's just not a good scene. I don't know. I mean, Old Man Logan, we got that to be thankful for this year.
Yeah. That's crazy.
I mean, that's been good. I'm trying to think of something else that's come out of kind of nowhere. I mean, our last issue of Astonishing was this year. I kind of got to be thankful for that. As much as it did suck, it was still very enjoyable to read. And Bendis in general. I mean, he's been writing some with Secret Invasion, but he's been writing some good stuff too. And I mean, he's still killing it on Ultimate Spider-Man.
Yeah.
We still got that. I think that about covers it. Nothing else is really sticking out.
Brian.
I mean, other than like Kick Ass. Yeah. And everything to that.
Yeah. That's right. Kick Ass is Icon.
It is.
Mm-hmm. So it's and not criminal. Just it's not just the Brubaker Phillips line of comics.
Right. Yeah.
We got some Millar in there.
My favorite books from Marvel are the two Icon books, Kick-Ass, yeah. Criminal, and I'm sure that Incognito will probably be my third favorite once they, but, you know, Daniel Way, of all people, is producing a Deadpool comic that doesn't make me want to light things and people on fire, so I guess I'll be thankful for Brubaker and that Deadpool comic, hopefully saying good.
Any smaller publishers you guys want to throw out thanks for? I was going to say IDW.
Yeah.
Every week when I look at the list of what's coming out, I always hope there's going to be something on IDW that is going to grab my interest. Because the stuff that has grabbed my interest has been incredibly awesome.
Such as what?
Put me on the spot, why don't you? I have no idea.
let me throw one. I'll help you out here. Angel.
Oh, well, that's not one.
Yeah, that's not helping that about.
I'm just saying. I have not. I had no like prior knowledge much of it except for Buffy, and I've been reading that Angel here lately, and I freaking really like it.
Ben Temple Smith is a key part of IDW.
Welcome to Hoxford.
Hoxford.
More about your current Twitter man crush on Ben Temple Smith than it is about the comics that company produces.
No, they do a lot of Ashley Wood stuff. They do a lot of the lesser mainstream creators that I really enjoy. Artists, I can pick up their stuff through IDW.
I'm thankful for them that they picked up the G.I. Joe license.
Yeah, that's supposed to be.
Not only that, they've turned it over to people that put it in pretty good hands to actually have it be a comic book following.
I've heard it's really good.
The first like little only thing I've seen so far is like the first little teaser thing, and it was interesting.
Really?
Are we gonna have to start buying? But I mean, this
guy, Trey, who was the guy that launched the old Marvel?
I have no earthly idea.
I can't remember the guy's name.
It was just a toy license book, and that wasn't cool enough for me.
I'm sure somebody will.
In my comic collecting.
I'm sure somebody listening will know the guy who's famous for having done the first 150 or whatever issues of the Marvel book, but he's back to write one of them. Chuck Dixon is back to write one of them, who, you know, had his, you know, kind of famous split with DC in the middle of writing like four of their books this year. So they've got really interesting creators doing a lot of their stuff. So I'm thankful for them that they have some good properties to roll with.
Yeah, I'm picking up a lot of stuff from some of the smaller creators. I know I'm giving at least chances to a lot of them. I think Blue Water is one of the, they're doing some fun stuff.
Oni Press is always, Oni. We're always on something from them.
Looking
Most
forward.
Recently, Krogan's Vengeance.
Yeah,
we're thankful for that this year.
I don't even think it's actually been officially released yet.
Oh, it hasn't?
I haven't seen it in stores or anything yet. I
Looking
don't know
forward to being thankful for kids' books that Boom Studios is going to start doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
Disney.
Boom Studios. They're doing some cool stuff. They're actually, I think Boom Studios is doing what Virgin should have done. When Virgin released its comic line, which is now defunct, there is no more Virgin comic line. Boom Studios is kind of taking the same approach. They're using people from movie Hollywood and stuff like that to write some of their storylines. And I think Mark Waid's doing an awesome job with Boom Studios. I've read recently, especially, I've picked up at least four storylines out of Boom Studios.
But he's also getting some well-known comic book people
to
take part in that too, and I think you have to do both.
Well, and that's, you know, they Virgin did that. They started out with Garth Ennis, and they had
But Garth Ennis does 873 books a month.
Well, no, but they just didn't do it right. I think
so
I think
he's available.
I think Boom Studios did it the right way, and I think they're going to continue to do it the right way. And it's not Virgin, so it's not just going to be a secondhand thing.
But even with the Virgin thing, I mean, I'm thankful to go into the comic book shop every week and to see new things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to see different publishers that I didn't know, publishers that have books every month that I will at least pick up and take a look at, even if I don't buy. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, for a large portion of my life, it's been Marvel, DC, a couple of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that it's not just this year that other companies are publishing things, but having been in a lot of different comic book stores this year, besides just whatever my local is, it is starting to be a gathering trend that more and more stores are carrying more and more independent books instead of, you know, you go in one store and it's only Marvel and DC, and you go in another store and they might have a couple of Image books. You know, you go into a lot of stores now that have healthy comic book subscriptions, and they have a lot of different stuff. And that's very encouraging.
The big thing is events and crossovers this year. We've had our ups and downs with crossovers on both on all publishers. What of the crossover events has stand out as something that you can be claimed to be thankful for in the crossover world?
Can we say something from last year?
Is there anything you guys can think of that's actually been a real awesome, positive, or something to be thankful for in crossover land? A lot.
The crickets.
It's a lot of stuff too.
Is that a tumbleweed in your living room?
I know the Secret Invasion crossover has led me to read a pretty awesome Black Panther storyline by Jason Aaron.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it good?
Yeah, it was really good. And
I wondered about that.
Yeah. I guess if I had to pick one above all the other ones, it would be Secret Invasion, because likewise, I really like the Matt Fraction Thor Secret Invasion.
Yeah, that was good too.
And I've still enjoyed the Avengers books, even though they sometimes were basically just given background that Bendis didn't have time to squeeze into his regular issues.
Yeah. Well, and this is the whole reason I'm reading Mighty. Like, I wasn't picking it up before.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I read some of them, like, just here and there, but I wasn't picking that book up until Secret Invasion started. Really, until I think it was issue 12, where Bendis and Maleev were on together. I think it was the first Secret Invasion tie-in they did, or one of the earlier ones or whatever, but that book was awesome, man. I'm thankful for that.
I just thought of a real jaded one. Final Crisis has helped me save a lot of money.
Yeah.
It also brought one of the coolest one-shots that had absolutely nothing to do with the regular series.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I guess to modify my answer is I haven't been thankful for any of the crossovers, but I've been thankful for some of the tie-ins.
Yeah.
Because I really like the Flash's Rogues three-parter.
Oh, really?
It really has crap all to do with Final Crisis.
Hmm.
But that was a really good three shot. So I like the idea of the small little mini series where they're telling a very specific story about a big event. I like the idea of that. That's what I'm thankful for, because when it's good creators, like when it's Jeff Johns and I can't remember the guy's name, but he used to draw the Flash for Johns. It's them doing a really small rogue story, which is characters that they, you know, did for 3 years or whatever their run on Flash was. Or you got Matt Fraction doing the Thor thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Those little three-issue miniseries were really good, and the rest of the stuff can, you know, suck balls.
Anything, Trey, specific?
Not really. I mean, look, I don't want to... I'm thankful that the comic book companies can still publish whatever it is they want to publish. You know, I'm not saying I'm not going to dank on the big crossovers. You know, crossovers are just kind of a way of life with comics these days. You know, it is what it is.
Even Image is doing them now.
Yeah.
Image has got big crossover with all their characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, so,
I'm not even buying that. And I read Witchblade.
At least, how do I want to say this? At least they seem to be getting a little more manageable. Crossovers used to be 12-issue jobs, and you had to buy a whole bunch of stuff to understand what was going on at all. Mm-hmm. I mean, and at least now they're structured in such a way, you know, they're both seven issue series, or excuse me, one's a seven and one's an eight issue. Talking about Final Crisis, Secret Invasion, respectively. Yeah. So they're shorter that way, and you can kind of pick and choose via those mini series what part of it you really want to pay attention to, and not wind up being totally lost in your, you know, Marvel Universe proper or your DC Universe proper later. Yeah. So I like that. I like that the companies are getting a little more, you know, I'm going to call that reader friendly. They're giving you ways which you might want to give them your money. They're not tricking you into having to give them all of your money.
This past summer, we all officially attended HeroesCon.
Yes, yes.
Oh,
what,
yeah.
What from HeroesCon are you most thankful for?
Good Lord. The list goes on and on and on.
I have a tie.
Do you? What do you got, Devin?
No, it's a three-way tie.
Devin's got a three-way.
I don't remember that night.
Okay. First off, was meeting fans. And we got to sign a book.
The only people Trey and Devin spoke to the entire weekend at the table, and they got to sign their books.
I didn't get to sign shit.
Second was Tommy Lee Edwards coming over and getting a shirt from us and hanging out and shooting shit for a while at our table. That was pretty fucking cool. Because that guy doesn't really leave his boulevard too much. And, and you know, it's kind of hard to talk to him sometimes when he's, you know, at shows and stuff. So that was pretty freaking cool. Third was our last trip to the Image table because it brought a lot for us. I'm not going to go into that. But amongst interviews and everything, free stuff, that was pretty freaking awesome. We got a great corn snake story.
Trey, this was your first, not only your first trip to HeroesCon, but your first trip to a big convention period, like that. Yeah, period.
I don't mind saying it was pretty overwhelming. That was a lot to absorb for, you know, an initiate like myself. But standout moments, FaceTime with Darwin Cook.
Oh, yeah. How can I fucking forget that?
How'd you leave that off? I actually got quite a bit of FaceTime with Darwin Cook. Never been happier to be a smoker.
Trey and Devin got a lot of interesting stories to be thankful for that we didn't get, Brian.
We was moving and shaking, son.
That's right.
Is that what you call it?
FaceTime with Darwin Cook.
I.e. not working.
Based entirely on our cigarette schedules was a pretty good thing. Got some FaceTime with Nick Carty, a Golden Age creator, who was there, who was just a very, very nice man. And that was very good. And the only reason that I got some FaceTime with Nick Carty was because of the very best thing that I pulled out of that convention was getting to meet Dwayne Ballinger, of all things.
Wow.
Dwayne Ballinger is my kind of people, man. And hung out with him, had a great time.
That fella.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. You just want to give him a hug. Well, you want to give him a shower and then give him a hug.
And he goes on ghost hunts. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah. He had one after, I think, after the Greenville Comic Con. I guess they were going to... They're going to a wedding or whatever.
Wedding, and then we went to a pumpkin. God, why the fuck?
A pumpkin carving thing.
We went to a pumpkin carving contest.
Maybe that was what he did the night before or some shit like that.
He is a sophisticated hobo.
As he's telling me this, he's standing outside like smoking a pipe like an old dude. Smoking a pipe,
yeah. Yep, Dwayne Ballinger was my absolute favorite part of that trip, was getting to meet that dude and hang out with that dude and drink beer with that dude.
My favorite thing
was one cool cat.
Well, I got to start my sketchbook there, and I got to be very thankful to Brian for bringing a spare sketchbook for me to utilize that.
Mm-hmm. That thing is shaping up nicely.
It is. I left it with Trey. Trey's gonna be next.
Yeah.
I got my Rocket Raccoon from Terrence, which turned out pretty awesome. As a woodland creature who lives in space.
It's hard to pick between favorites in your sketchbook.
Oh, it is. And I'm so thankful for my sketchbook in general, but it definitely kicked off at HeroesCon, which is one reason I'm thankful for it there. I'm thankful I got to feel official. I'm really thankful about that, about feeling official.
Official did you feel up?
The one that was in charge of the information booth, but that wasn't until later.
At least it wasn't the ticket.
However, I am also thankful for.
Yeah, I was going to say, you better add a little something to that.
Yeah, I'm thankful for the people I got to hang out with and meet. Hell, we got to meet Rochelle, you know?
Yeah.
I'm super stoked and thankful about that. It brought us so many opportunities. HeroesCon brought so many opportunities to meet new people, to get more FaceTime with the people that we've already met.
Take a Canadian to go eat a shit ton of barbecue.
But yeah, I definitely just felt more official coming out of there. We had our own table. We had all these panels that I was officially recording, you know, not just like, hey, can I record this at the last minute? I was like scheduled to record panels. It felt good. It just, I'm very thankful for just HeroesCon in general and what it's been able to help us with. And we got to pick up new listeners, I think Terrence and Ted Tarver, a lot of those heroes aren't hard to find customers that we got to pick up out of it. I'm very appreciative.
We got a lot of increasing listenership out of HeroesCon,
yep,
which I think we're all thankful for. I'm thankful for the interviews that we did manage to get. Probably my favorite from Heroes this particular year was getting to meet and talk to Mark Wade. I'm really glad with how that turned out, and he's a really nice guy. Probably my best memory from HeroesCon, though, was the after party, though.
Oh, that was
after party was the bomb.
Oh man, was it
Cliff
ever?
Chang came.
Yeah,
over.
We got to sit around. And, oh geez,
hanging out talking wrestling with Curl Studios.
Yeah, getting to talk with Curls and seeing
smoke another cigarette with
Darwin Cook.
Darwin Cook, yeah.
And like you said, Chang came by. Chris Weiser came by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nat.
Nat Jones.
Nat came by.
Yeah.
Rocking the dollar bin tee.
Yeah. Put it on as soon as we gave it to him. Wore it the rest of the day. Yeah. I mean, I'm really thankful to the hero staff, period.
Yeah.
Because they really treat us well. They make us feel welcome.
And they were super accommodating. We were...
When they
I don't know
definitely
if I'd
never
put
had
us
to be.
Above the bottom 10 in terms of importance of guests that were there. But they made it, you know, they treated us very, very well.
Yeah. Yeah, they did, and I'm thankful that Dusty gave us that opportunity.
Yep.
Yeah. They actually don't make me feel douchebaggy about having our own table, you know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, at first I was like, dude, what? Really? I feel like we're taking up space here.
No, I thought it was awesome.
And then, oh, yeah. Well, I mean, well, by the time I got there, I was like, well, never mind. This is
by the time
coolest
you saw
thing
the,
ever.
By the time you saw that other people would put effort for us having stuff.
That's one of my favorite things to do with that whole
Huggles,
convention was
man.
Walk by Podcast Row
Huggles.
And go,
Yeah, Huggles were born.
Huggles were
oh,
born,
man.
Yeah.
We gave out so many Huggles at Greenville Comic Con.
Did you really?
Yep. And Jay Chris took
did,
them
did
all,
he
man.
Live up?
He did.
Right on.
He did. And I was so impressed. I'm thankful for Jay Chris Campbell. We kind of stepped outside of the realms of HeroesCon now.
Now we're just expanding on it.
On the convention circuit.
But
in general.
Yeah, that guy's done. I mean, he's helped me get a lot of stuff and broaden my mind and what we can do with Dollar Ben and multimedia and just the shows and interviews and things like that. He helped. You know, at SPX last, he helped me. He got the idea to go around and just get people drawing sketches and videos and stuff. And we're going to start that collection. And just a lot of cool things that I didn't think about doing that we could do to help just kind of expand who we are.
He's like our dad.
or our creepy uncle.
Yeah, there you go. There we go.
Creepy uncles, Jay, Chris, and Dwayne.
I think Dwayne's still like on cousin level.
But, you know, an area of thankfulness that we haven't hit on yet that I'm very surprised we haven't hit on yet is I'm thankful for the resurged interest that Hollywood has in superhero properties. Mm-hmm. And not even superhero, let's just say comic book properties.
Yeah, thank God for lack of original ideas.
I mean, superhero, you look at like things like Hancock. I mean, that's definitely not comic book, but at least
but
Hollywood tried
as
something.
Well, you know, yeah. Hancock, Incredible Hulk, Batman, Iron Man all did very well
Wanted.
This year.
Hellboy.
Hellboy less,
yeah,
but
still
on the map.
Still did pretty well.
Actually, apparently on Rotten Tomatoes, Hellboy has like an 83 rating. Yeah. That's
Hellboy 2 or the first Hellboy?
2.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is, I think we end up giving like a C-
yeah.
average
yeah.
or something like that.
Yeah.
But
we're
yeah,
not that impressed by
and,
monsters.
And the success of those movies has gotten a lot of people excited about superheroics on the screen in the future. That Watchmen movie is coming out, and it looks like it's going to be all right. Everything that I've seen from it has or from the pre-production has looked very good. I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the Avengers movie, which they have inked the stars for. They got two of them done.
Kick-Ass is going to be a movie.
Kick-Ass is going to be a movie? How can you not be excited about
Who's
that?
Who's the two stars for?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Just Downey and
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle.
And, yeah.
Just the Iron Man people, Captain America, or anybody else that have been cast. They do have a director for Captain America.
Captain America, yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Who's that? Mark Steven Johnson or whatever?
Yes.
No, it's a nobody that's never helmed anything bordering on something this big. I mean, he's been like shot supervisor for people and shit like that.
Oh, sweet.
So. We can't forget things like New Frontier is.
Can't forget things like you just forgot.
Yeah, like New Frontier.
New Frontier was out.
They're doing some of the animated things. You know, there's some so good ones.
Got the new Brave and the Bold cartoon
Brave
coming
and
out.
The Bold's coming up. Animated.
What was the
land
other
is,
Gotham Knight? Was that the Batman?
Yeah,
one?
Batman kind of tie was in. It was interesting.
Which is, you know, a lot of them might not be great. But
yeah, but it's
doing
something.
It.
But
yeah.
they're doing it.
Doing
and
it. You're damn
and even
right.
the ones that aren't great, they're making money. People are interested
in seeing
it.
Like, I tried to watch that Doctor Strange show movie.
Didn't work.
Well, the thing that I like about the Warner Brothers projects is that when they release them on DVD, or the ones that go directly to DVD, like some of the animated, is in the special features, they're making an incredible amount of effort to tie it back to the source material by using the people already in their employ. Hey, come and film this 30-minute, you know, interview, and we'll cut and paste it with three other creators, and you know, help kind of broaden out the story.
That stuff's been really interesting.
And the Batman DVD, the Gotham Knights, and New Frontier. Mm-hmm. You know, some of my favorite parts about that is having
Doomsday
the creators
too, huh?
talk.
Yeah,
I watched that one as Superman.
Kind of on the periphery of comics, of course, Dr. Horrible came out this year, and I'm very thankful about Dr. Horrible being out. I was prepared, when somebody told me about that thing, I was prepared to absolutely hate it. A musical with Joss Whedon in charge of it, I was like, I'm not going to be down with that, and wound up being
I need to order
charmed.
One of those My Fists Aren't the Hammer t-shirt. I've got to have one of those. That'll be my Christmas present to myself this year.
Dr. Horrible. Hugely thankful for.
Besides, you know, while we're on the multimedia tip, besides the feature films and the animated stuff that's coming out, you know, continue to have video games as well.
Yeah,
you got
man, I want DC Universe versus Mortal Kombat.
That just came out.
That shit does look pretty sick.
It really does.
The cutscenes and stuff like that look really in character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Look really interesting. I think we can thank Palmiotti and Justin Gray for writing it.
Yeah,
you know, we all kind of snickered. Why would they want to do that? Maybe they did it so we'd actually enjoy the fucking game.
Yeah, and it's funny. We
don't write this. Who the hell are they going
to
get?
We knocked that game so hard like 2 weeks prior to here. HeroesCon, and then we did the interview with Jimmy Palmiotti, and just like, so what's the deal with it? I don't think we knew he was writing at the time. Did you know?
Yeah,
I didn't know at the time, or maybe I did. I don't remember. But anyway, Palmiotti, when he told us about it in the interview, he was really excited about it, and just he gave it a really positive feel. And I was like, well, maybe, you know.
When I caught the commercial for it during one of the football games a couple of weekends ago, like, oh, my God, that actually looks all right.
But the bad thing about it is, you know, for schmoes like me and you that just have the PS2, they're not releasing it for the PS2.
Yeah, they're not releasing it for the Wii either.
Yeah, they're just only doing
PS3 and
Xbox.
Any of the listeners who wants
Xbox.
To buy me a PS3 for Christmas can feel free to do so.
But you also got Spider-Man Web of Shadows.
That looks
Spider-Man
pretty
games.
Sick.
It's gotten, depending on what the platform, it's gotten mixed reviews, but at least they made it.
Mm-hmm.
And you got the Lego Batman game, which was mega popular.
Mm-hmm.
And you got Marvel Scrap, their online game, but DCU Online still set to go next year. And they, you know, Jeff Johns and Jim Lee are behind that, so you got to think that's going to have some of the same kind of bang you're looking for out of. And really, I mean, with all the stupid ideas and all the good ideas that you see for video games rolling out, these companies, you would think that they would be popping out video games left and right. Because with a lot of these games, they basically just reuse the same engine as another game and just put new graphics.
Right.
So if that's the case, you know, if I had a slew of those characters, I'd be like, go make me a Captain America game. You know?
DC football.
Go make me a Tiny Titans Sandlot baseball game.
Superhero hero.
I forget what I was going to say. I'm thankful for our listeners.
Psych.
Suck up. I'm thankful that I'm not just thankful for our listeners. I'm thankful for the people that interact with us.
Yeah, I'm thankful for the
people that talk to us when we go places.
Listeners, but I'm thankful.
And people that comment the forum, people that leave comments on the site.
Boy, Devin, he's not thankful for you at all.
Yeah. We've known that for quite a long time now.
And I'm thankful that we're at about an hour and a half, and I'm going to go ahead and call it a night.
Awesome. I get to go home and eat at a decent hour.
So this is our
Posy
show.
Posy TV.
Thanks for listening.
Yay.
Maybe I'll close with our little theme song by Brennan at Richards, who I'm also thankful for.
Sweet. Thank you.
You are locked in to the dollar bin. People don't talk like that. People don't talk like that. Locked in to the dollar bin. People don't talk like that. You are locked in to the dollar bin.